We'll check in with U.S. manufacturing in this extraordinary week for politics. I'm David Brancaccio. 4 years ago, candidate Donald Trump spent some time focusing on a furnace factory in Indiana, owned by the Carrier Corporation. That factory was scheduled to close with more furnace production out of Mexico.
We have leaders that are stupid people, and we have leaders that are corrupt people. They're controlled by their campaign contributions. And believe me, if I were in office right now, Carrier would not be leaving Indiana. That I can tell you. That I can tell you.
President-elect Trump cut a deal to keep the plant in Indiana in exchange for $7 million in tax breaks. It was heralded as an example of Trump strengthening American manufacturing. Marketplace's Nova Safo checked back in with that community in Indiana to see if Trump's promises have been kept. Nova, what'd you find?
Well, David, it's complicated. A lot of Carrier workers were unhappy with Trump because there were still job cuts going on a couple of years after he was elected. Fast forward to now, sales are up. Carrier has hired back many workers. So I checked back in with Chuck Jones. He had been the leader of the local steelworkers union in 2016. Now, he was never a Trump fan, but a lot of his union members voted for the president. And he said, yes, Carrier has maintained good-paying jobs, but he's not seeing the same thing play out broadly in his region. Other factories are gone, and many workers who lost good-paying factory jobs are replacing them with lower-paying ones, which are all they can find.
So what happens is pretty soon they lose their automobile because they get behind in payments, and then pretty soon their house goes. And shortly thereafter, you know, with all the pressure of everything and not having a car, not having a house, there's divorce. And in some instances, people end up taking their own lives. Now, these are people that, you know, weren't asking for anything. All they wanted was an opportunity to have a job.
But Nova, how does the manufacturing sector in Indiana there compare to the country as a whole?
Well, there have been ups and downs in the last few years, David, but manufacturing nationally just is not close to where it was in the 1990s. Over the last 4 years, there was some acceleration in jobs, and then it leveled off. Department of Labor statistics show we're now where we were in the mid-2014. For example, a Federal Reserve analysis also found that the trade war with China actually ended up costing more jobs than it created in manufacturing.
All right, and some of that is COVID, of course. Marketplace's Nova Safo, thank you. Index futures are suggesting the stock market is going to rise at the beginning of this election week. The Dow future up sharply, 451 points, 1.7%. The S&P future is up 1.5%. The price of crude oil in New York down 2.7% this morning, $34.82 a barrel, after hitting a five-month low at the end of last week. Among the bets here, that new coronavirus lockdowns in Europe and beyond will depress demand for energy, new oil from Libya coming online, and some oil analysts see a Biden presidency, if that were to happen, might de-escalate tensions with Iran, possibly leading someday to the return of legal Iranian oil to the market. A very small group of U.S. states have allowed voters to file ballots electronically, whether by fax, email, or even a web portal. This is often for uniformed military and overseas citizens. In the U.S., we generally are leery of full online voting for security reasons. Well, my Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, explains how one European country with a population the size of my home state of Maine has done this.
In Estonia, just about everything happens online. No, really. 99% of the Baltic countries' public services happen on the internet. Everything from storing health data to signing legal court documents. And in 2005, voting was added to that list. Voters use a national ID to log into the system, enter a PIN code to cast their vote, and a QR code afterwards to make sure their ballot was received.
I have to say Estonia has not seen effective and wide-scale attempts against its elections the way perhaps the U.S. has.
That's Lisa Past, who helped lead the Estonian government's analysis on cyber risks of online voting before the platform was officially rolled out. She said the U.S. could adopt a similar system, but there's one rather large challenge.
Voting cannot be more digital than the governance it supports. If your citizens are quite accustomed to applying for their driver's license online and there's years of history of doing that securely, then voting just becomes one of those services.
Trust is the linchpin that makes the system work, and undermining that trust is a top goal for hackers, especially in a country like the United States, which is seen as a high-stakes target. Harry Hursty, who helped lead analysis of Estonia's online voting system, argues no system will ever be 100% secure, which is a problem because...
There's no do-overs in banking. If there's a fraudulent transaction, your money can be returned. That's not the case in election. You cannot correct errors, so you have to get it right.
But that's where Florian Marcus from e-Estonia, a partnership between the government and the IT industry, disagrees.
If there is a widespread problem, then we can also cancel the online elections and we can still have the paper vote right afterwards.
That process, he says, wouldn't delay the election because iVoting ends 3 days before paper voting begins. And clearly, that reassurance is enough for Estonians. In the last election, 44% of the nation's voters cast their ballots online, up from just 1% when e-voting was first available. But before you jump to the next conclusion that the convenience of online voting leads to higher voter turnout, Past said that doesn't actually happen. In her words, a voter is a voter, and technology neither entices nor discourages participation in the democratic process. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
During this time of special election coverage this week, let us keep you up to date with the business, economics, and workplace developments of the day. If you don't hear Marketplace with my colleague Kai Rizdahl on the radio during its usual place in the schedule this week, you can listen anytime at marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with our morning report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.